6 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Thank you, Jadeen. Well done, well done. Sometimes we forget to do a sound check once in a while. And my headset, I need it blaring. I like to hear myself. That's what my wife likes to say all the time. Also, my friend Tanner Schwint likes to say that from time to time.
Once in a while, yeah. How are you doing?
I'm good. Tanner Schwint hosts, of course, NoCo Now. You guys, I wasn't able to join you for trivia today.
You had a stand-in. Clark said he was playing for you, and he got the win. He dominated. So
trivia genius.
You got a win there.
All right, so I wanted to do this, and Jadeen is 8 years old, so he doesn't understand 80s music. And so I said, hey, you know what we haven't done? The Hooligans really appreciate this. We haven't done it in a while.
Is it an 80s Friday?
I want to do an 80s Friday, but I'm throwing you under the bus a little bit, JD. You notice how I changed his name?
Yeah, it's all
JD,
over the place.
Jadeen. We're Jimmy Dean, we've had a couple. I said, 80s Friday today. You feeling it, man? And I forget, he's 12. And he's like, how corny of 80s songs? And I'm like, just corny 80s music, man. You can figure. And I'm like, wait a second, you're 7 years old. You don't.
Is that not what your parents listen to? Did your parents not listen to corny 80s music?
Okay, yeah, all the time. Car rides are miserable.
You gotta adopt it, though.
Is your dad listening? Because can he text in and give us some of my 80s ideas for you? Because I want to know what he's listening to. Because I know him. He's a cool guy. And I'm sure he listens to good stuff.
But is it like, looking...
He listens to the same stuff I've been playing. Like, we got Metallica.
Well,
Journey.
Yeah, that's good. But we need, like, the,
we need
you
corny.
Know.
See, they listen to good 80s
well,
music.
Well, yeah. Nobody listens to corny 80s music on their own, like, just for music to just listen to.
Speak for yourself.
When you're just hanging out trying to be a goofball, you listen to crappy 80s music. So that's what we need, is crappy 80s music that you listen to when you're a goofball. There's got to be a category under Spotify.
I've got a playlist. I can't think of the dang song.
So here, how about this? Hooligans, are you with me?
I ran so far by a flock of seagulls.
Yeah.
Did you guys know in the song 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton, she actually uses her nails as a finger or as an instrument?
No.
And it's like listed as an instrument.
I did not know that, but yeah. Now I'm happy I know that.
Well, there you go.
That's actually really good trivia, Jadeen.
That is good. I ran so far away, flock of seagulls. Break my stride by Matthew Wilder.
How about like anything? Just Google Weekend at Bernie's soundtrack. We're going to be good there. If we just do Weekend at Bernie's soundtrack. If you guys want to text us 80s tunes, normally you guys do, and you're great. And I know it's a big ask because it's 12 and you're still recovering from the bender last night. But I would like a couple of texts into the whole show on 80s suggestions for Jadeen, especially because I can't do this by myself. I'm trying to grow this producer over here. It's like I'm trying to grow him into this weeping willow awesome tree. And right now, you know, he's a cool-looking weed you see on the side of the road.
And he's starting to get there because before your show yesterday, he stopped by my office and was talking crap already. And he's been here for 2 weeks. Hold on a second.
He's got to defend himself.
Hold on a second. I'm not the young guy anymore. It's weird. It's weird.
He's young. You started when you were about his age, though.
Yeah, 17, yeah.
But I was, of course, younger at that point, too. Now I'm getting older, so the older I get and the younger they come in, it just makes me feel like I'm 97 years old.
Yeah, well, you act like it, too. So it fits.
I mean, you're
definitely
wearing like an old Western shirt. You're wearing a Western shirt. Get off my lawn guy.
I like it this way.
A little bit.
You probably like the taunting penalties, don't you?
No, I hate the taunting penalties. Except for when Tyreek Hill did the backflip in the end zone.
I figured you were the guy that's like, yeah, just hand the ball to the ref. Act like you've been there before.
No, I think there's a place for all of that. I think that it's cool that guys did that. Barry Sanders did that. But I also liked the guys that do a little different. Be different. Be unique, man.
Some of the dances are just terrible, too. And it'll ruin a great play because it's like, oh, that's awesome. And then they're doing, you know, the icky shuffle or something like that.
Yeah, they're all very good.
Yeah, not all.
Did you find anything?
Well, I've got Break My Stride so far. Oh,
can we hear? Can we get a taste of that?
Go ahead.
Just a little taste.
For you specifically, Brady, we might have to play Barbie Girl.
That's not 80s, Jadeen.
It's close enough. It's my corny music.
Hey, give me. Can we get a taste of the Break My Stride?
Yeah, do that. Play the Break My Stride song. Let's see what
Matthew Wilder is the artist there.
See, that's more than I know.
That's why
I brought Tanner in.
My
because
80s corny music.
I said, I can't educate Jadeen in 5 minutes here. We're going to have you come on. Dixon, of course. How do you say his name?
I've got no idea.
That's the guy that says, never going to give you up. Okay, go ahead and fade it up there, Jadeen. Let's have some fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Not sure where we're going to go after this bit here. Man, have you heard this song? It's so good, man. Seriously, Google Weekend at Bernie's. I think the song's on there. No, you can turn it up a little bit. I want to hear it. Who is it?
Matthew Wilder.
Yeah, this is a good tune. Okay, here's one. Here's a suggestion for you. Oh, no, you got to leave it up for the chorus. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's very good.
That's the peak of
that's the best
80s,
part of that song.
Well, it's
oh, and 80s songs always have these weird instruments that just come out of nowhere. You'll hear a guitar solo, and then you'll just hear...
Yep. It's like, how did they come up with that?
No, they're just...
I know how, and it was acid. they took a lot of drugs.
Had to be something, man. Dixon says, never gonna give you up. So that's our first song. We'll go out with that one.
That actually got really popular with young people, too, because now it's a trend. It's called getting Rickrolled. It'll take you in one way with it, and then it'll just pop back to that music video.
That song?
Yep. The never
is that the one, the weird video?
Yes, it's very strange.
Where he's like a cartoon kind of thing?
Yes. Yeah. No, it's not that one. He's just sitting there. It's just very 80s. So they'll just take you one way with a video, and then it's like, yeah, they got you. Or they'll hyperlink something. It's like breaking news, yada, yada, and then click the link, and you click the link, and it's to YouTube. It's to that song. It's called getting Rickrolled, apparently.
Mysterio says, I've heard that.
Yes.
More than a feeling. Okay. So just write these down, and you'll have enough.
Oh, yeah.
JD's trying to find them all. Just write them all down, and you'll have them.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll be ready to go for all
of this. Just need to create a playlist. You need a separate playlist where you can just add all these on there.
I'm trying to think of something, and I can't think of it. There's a place that I've been, and it was like 7 years ago.
Okay.
Boy, what? It's like they're still stuck in the 80s. So it's where Silver Dollar City is. Why can't...
In Missouri?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah,
yes. Come on.
You went on vacation to Branson.
Branson. Yeah. Have you ever been to Branson? It is like they are stuck in the 80s. You say Dolly Parton? They have a billboard up of Dolly Parton, but it's like from 1978. And it's like, come see the show tonight. And you're like, what? It's fresh. Like, it doesn't look like it's been worn out at all.
She was probably still performing because I think Dolly Parton's still stuck in the 80s, too. Yeah. So she might just be there.
But it's like a young, like,
right.
She looks like she's 20. And she's just like, come out, see Dolly Parton. And I'm like, where in the hell are we? There's a toy museum and... It's, you know, just...
They've got a huge theme park there, too, right?
I don't know. I went to Silver Dollar City. I bought a knife that was made of a railroad spike.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I bought it for like $80.
Okay.
And then I looked it up online, and it's like, this is $7.
Yeah, you could have got that on Amazon for a lot cheaper.
It was crazy. All right, let's get into it. Boston More Than Feeling. Okay, keep them coming. Dixon. Push It by Salt and Pepper.
Oh, no.
Is that 80s?
Dixon, of course. I don't think it's 80s, but it's
probably
cheesy.
Dixon's jamming out to this song.
It absolutely makes sense that that's going to be. Have you got sick of that, though, the commercial that has that on there? I want to throw.
Is it still going?
No, I don't know. At some point when the Broncos were down in one of their games, I was ready to throw my beer can through the TV when that commercial came on.
When my teams are down, even the best commercial's awful. I mean, that's just the way it is. And I'm sitting there, if you don't have any fast forward time, and just every damn commercial that you watch when your team is losing or your bet is losing, and you're just like, this is stupid.
And my bets tend to lose a lot, too, so it gets a little grits. Super Bowl commercials, I think, going to be pretty good this year. I liked some of the previews that we saw. Peyton's going to obviously be in one.
I remember this debate we had.
You don't like this. You don't like the antics around the Super Bowl.
I don't like the antics around the Super Bowl.
You got to like the commercials,
they're
though.
They're all right.
They've gotten worse in the last couple of years.
Oh, no doubt, because everybody's trying to be
politically
correct. I don't like the halftime show. And
this halftime show is going to be garbage. It's going to be so bad.
It's never
what
like...
What is it? Dr. Dre, Mary J. Blige, Eminem, and there's one more.
Snoop-a-loop. Snoop Dogg.
D-O-double-G.
Okay, Sledgehammer.
Peter Gabriel.
Love Shack. We need all of these.
Good.
We're getting a lot of good ones
here. That's
pretty
good.
So text in 888-530-0043, and if you're lucky enough, we'll play your song, and you will win a used stapler that still nobody has come to claim.
Do
so
I need
still
to just sit back there with Jaden and be like, hey, here you go. Like, do I need to keep
Well, that's why I wanted you to bring you in, because you actually know more of the names and the artists than I do. Yeah. I just know the song.
And I also, actually, every once in a while, just get in a weird, wacky mood that I listen to these 80s cheesy
Well, yeah, what were you
music.
Listening to this morning?
Oh, no. I
Play
don't.
It into the, yeah.
No.
Play it, yes. No. You need to, you have, I, come
it,
on.
It was a Winona song.
Nobody's going to make fun of you.
Oh, yeah. They absolutely will, yeah. What was
it? Pull it up. Just play it into the mic.
No One Else on Earth by Winona. Are you sure? Are you
yes.
Sure
right put it into your microphone. You were listening to this on the way into work.
I was singing every word, too.
You needed a confidence booster.
Ready?
There's no cussing in this, is there?
No. You think Winona cussed in
your
songs?
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah.
That's a song.
I was on 90s country. I was on 90s. Oh, James.
That's Susan and Cheryl, man. They smoked all night last night to come in with those boos.
Whenever Brady is out of the office, I'm second in command, so you may not have a job if Brady steps outside, just so you know. I don't know if he's going to hire you back, but...
Oh, Jay Dean is... This is what? This is your second week on the job?
Yeah, it is kind of stupid how quickly he's picking it up.
Dude, I started on the board. That's when I was an intern, when I was your age.
American.
And I was, like, lost back there. I hung up on people. I played different songs. I cut people off. He doesn't do that.
He did that. Who did it? Was it Brohard earlier this week?
No, it was Ivy.
Oh, Ivy.
Skullcrack, which I need to reach out to him, by the way.
I like that, though. The beeping into the after the phone.
Steve,
hung
you
up.
There? Beep.
I hadn't heard that noise in so long.
Oh, I
too.
Love that yeah. noise. It's great. What a game last night, though. Speaking of sports that we like.
I was going to say, did you just bring me in for 80s music?
Boise State and Wyoming. Speaking of a place that feels like the 80s, Wyoming.
Right. Laramie is absolutely like that.
They get the dub over Boise State. The crowds, let me ask you this. We have another storming of the crowd. They did of the floor. They did the same thing against CSU. Like it or hate it?
Like it. I absolutely
For both
like
times?
It. Yeah, both times. Go ahead and do it. Look, Jeff Linder turned this program around.
Oh, I love Jeff Linder,
so
man.
So quickly. They haven't had great basketball up there in a while. And, you know, Hunter Maldonado, what he went off of for 35 against CSU on Monday night.
And then
Graham EK is just incredible.
He had 33-10 last night.
And look, it's Laramie, Wyoming. There's nothing up there. You got to enjoy your basketball team.
They
Go
do,
celebrate,
though.
Man. I love it. Right now, they've got to be the odds-on favorite to win the Mountain West, don't they? I know so, Rams fans aren't going to like that.
So
but.
That is our Method Flow Products poll question of the day, available at wholeshow.com. Who's winning the Mountain West Conference regular season? Now, again, the tournament to me, it just depends. I mean, I've seen Wyoming struggle, and then once they got to the tournament, bam, they just went and won it and got into the big dance. But who do you think is going to win the regular season title? Boise State, Wyoming, Colorado State, San Diego State, big one tonight, or Fresno? I put Fresno State in that list. 57% of the hooligans are saying Wyoming.
Yeah, I go there, too. I just think that they've got so many marquee wins, and they've played everybody so tough, right? I mean, they went on the road, lost to Boise State the first time just by three. It was a 65-62 yeah. game, and then they take care of business on their home court. That's important. And we saw CSU a week ago today a week ago today, they dropped that game against UNLV,
yeah.
right? They give up 45 to Bryce Hamilton. So you got to take care of your home court advantage. Wyoming's doing that right now. I think Wyoming's got to be the favorite
by far, on at least by the poll question here. Second is 17, so it's 57%, then it's 17% Boise State, then it's 12% CSU, 10% San Diego State. And Clark Johnson voted on Fresno State, the 2%
right,
that's
course.
Out there, because he went to Fresno State.
How is San Diego State not getting more respect than that? I know they've had a couple of bad losses along the way as well, but this is a team that beat CSU by 30.
By
and
30.
I know there was a COVID pause and everything like that, but
yeah.
put some respect on San Diego State.
And I guess, and the Rams are favorites tonight.
Wow.
The Rams are 3.5-point favorites tonight.
I think that's interesting, too, because they were favored against Wyoming, and they've been favored. And as soon as they reached the national polling when they were in the top 25, ever since then, they've been pretty good favorites in all of their games, and they haven't covered a lot of those. So I think that's interesting that San Diego State's getting the disrespect, because they've been the one true powerhouse in the Mountain West for quite some time.
What's going to hurt CSU is UNLV, obviously, that loss.
Right.
The Wyoming loss is not hurting them at all, especially after they beat Boise State. What you need UNLV to do tomorrow is beat Utah State and to beat Air Force and actually put together a respectable record, so maybe they jump into a quad two.
That would be nice. My question is, how out of those that many teams right there that you just mentioned, how many of them make it to the big dance? Because
it was four, maybe five. Now it's three, maybe four.
Right, and I think that this Mountain West is just cannibalizing itself a little bit. They're beating up on each other so much that it's going to end up hurting the conference more than what I think a lot of people thought it was going to do.
Yeah, well, and if Wyoming, Boise State, CSU San Diego State can go beat everybody else. Yes. Like, you can't have the CSU dropping to UNLV. So you got to go beat everybody else in the conference, and then you're going to beat each other up, split, whatever. So that's why if CSU can win tonight.
That's huge.
They're right in the thick of this thing right now. And actually, I said this yesterday on the show. If CSU wins this year, if Wyoming wins the game yet last night, that's a good thing, because that doesn't mean Boise State's running away with this thing. So they're 8-1 in the conference, Wyoming 7-1 in the conference, CSU 6-3.
You got to split tonight. You got to get the split with San Diego State. You absolutely have to split with Wyoming. And then is it plausible to think that you can win both against Boise? I think that can happen, but this game tonight, and then when they take on Wyoming in Fort Collins, that is almost a must win. You have to split with those top tier teams.
Yeah, no question about it, man. The Mountain West is fun to watch.
It is.
Basketball. I'm seeing national guys writing about Boise State and Wyoming last night. They're like, this game's amazing. So the Mountain West, they are turning some heads.
Yeah, no, and I watched an early season game. Utah State took on Oklahoma, and Utah State handled them. And I was like, are you kidding me? And I thought Utah State was going to be in the thick of it. They've been up and down, but this is maybe the most loaded we've seen the Mountain West in a long time.
No question about it, man. And CSU has an opportunity to continue to stay right in the thick of things here. Again, their non-conference schedule is what's really helping them out right now, but they need to put this one together tonight. We will have the David Roddy Show starting at 1:00 today, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. So we're pumped about that. We'll get David's thoughts, his insights so far. Two losses in a row. How do the Rams respond? It's all about how they respond now, because the UNLV loss was bad. Wyoming, no one's calling that a bad loss. Tonight, you want to see if you can get this thing right, well, back on track.
And I'm curious, too, what was his thought process coming back after the Wyoming game? Because he had a shot to win that game for the Rams up in Laramie. What does that do to a psyche of a great player like Roddy? I'm going to be intrigued to hear what he has to say about that.
Well, and he shot poorly against UNLV. Yeah. He didn't look like the same player. He looked better against Wyoming, but then he gets fouled out. Yeah. And how does he respond tonight? A big one in Moby Arena. 23 minutes after the hour, we've turned it into an 80s Friday here, so we'll see how Jay Dean does it. His very first 80s Friday. This is a lot of more pressure than you've ever been under. So we'll take a short break. You're listening to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Let it breathe for a little bit, Jay Dean.
March Madness can be heard right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
See what I mean? Like, listen, right here. What are all these instruments? Beep, 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 beep. Who just is like, let's add that in, man. It's going to be great. It's an 80s Friday, so if you want a particular 80s tune played for you at some point throughout the show today, shoot us a text on our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. 888-530-0043. All right, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who will win the Mountain West men's basketball regular season championship? I think the tournament is going to be so fun. It's going to be so wide open, in my opinion, that it's just going to be a blast. It's hard to predict right now. But who do you think is going to win the regular season title? And it is Boise State, or it's Wyoming and everybody else. Boise State in second place on this poll, followed by Colorado State. So, very interesting here. Then you have San Diego State. Fresno State's last. I threw Fresno State in, knowing they would be last. But you got to take a shot. They're at least somewhat in the mix. So, go to thewholeshow.com. Vote. Let us know what you think. JD, we need to get to some breaking news, or our big story of the day. Not breaking news. Our big story of the day, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. The Jacksonville Jaguars are set to hire Doug Peterson as their next head coach. Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl with Philadelphia. He has now been hired by the Jags. So I thought Byron Leftwich might get that job, but Nope, they're going to go with Doug Peterson, who I thought was a pretty big name, even for the Broncos when we started out the interview process. But unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever, he never got an interview. That never picked up any steam. So the Jags get their coach 49 days after the team fired Urban Meyer and 35 days after Peterson first interviewed with the Jags. So they did interview him shortly after. There's some work to do. Can you revive that team? You want to be able to get a guy that can work with a star quarterback and Trevor Lawrence. Can you get the most out of this guy? You don't want to waste that talent. You need somebody that can do it. 29 minutes after the hour, Chris Dempsey coming up next from Altitude TV. Nuggets back at it tonight against the Pelicans. Is the Joker a go? Aaron Gordon, Boogie Cousins? We'll get the gist from Chris. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
That's a good one. That's a good 80s song. You're doing well, man. I worried a little bit. Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, first off, I need you to rate. We got a brand new producer. He's doing a wonderful job. He's 7 years old, though. And I said, hey, it's an 80s Friday. And he's like, what kind of 80s, what do you mean? Like, what kind of music? So we're in an education process right now. I need you to rate. How was the phone call from him to you to get you on the program? Was it good?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was so professional. I did think that he might have been 6 or 7 years old, but no.
He's a youngster, man. He makes me, I mean, I act and feel old all the time anyway, but I said, hey, time for 80s music. And he's like, oh my gosh, what can we play? And I think he was listing off, like, you know, Soundgarden and Red Hot Chili Pepper. I mean, but we're getting there, man, slowly but surely.
That's so good. So in the 80s, he was probably, what, negative 19?
Yeah, probably something like that. Yeah, isn't that sad? Isn't that? It's got to be like that with the NBA, too, with these players coming up. I mean, I always think when I was in high school, I was like, oh, that guy's only like 10 years older than me. That guy's only. Now it's like, oh, my gosh, that guy was born like, you know, 5 years ago. It's got to be a little weird for you sometimes when you're interviewing these players.
Oh, my gosh. I remember the first time that I interviewed a player that was actually born in 2000. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. I was so old in 2000. But yeah, I mean, you know what? It's the older I get, it's just like everybody's younger. I mean, let's just put it this way. So the Broncos just hired Nathaniel Hackett, right? And Nathaniel Hackett's 43 years old. And I was like, dude, he's 43 years old. I'm 46 years old. What am I doing? It just is amazing to me. But you get older and everybody's younger, man. That's really what it boils down to.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, you can just look at it with these rosters now, and they're into totally different things. And it's also why in the leagues you see guys wanting to get coaches that are maybe a little younger so they can speak their language a little bit more. Or they get leaders on their team, assistant coaches that are, you know, recently removed from the NBA so maybe they can speak their language a little bit more.
Yeah, and I here's the other way that you'll – start feeling really old is when you see the son of a player that you were maybe grew up watching, oh, he's so good. Now his son is actually playing in the league as well. And you're like, whoa, I remember your dad, which means now that I'm really old. And so, yeah, but you're right. I mean, it's interesting because I think these coaches, I think if you're a coach, you have to be able to just roll with it, man. I mean, you know, part of being a coach is adapting to, I mean, they're young people. Young people are always young. And so, you know, you're just, and they're just cycling them through. And so, you know, they're going to have their different interests. What's happening in the world today? What's the technology of today? All of that stuff is going to factor in to how they act and how they operate on a day-to-day basis. And so, you know, these coaches, they ought to be, they ought to be pretty well dialed into that, and then, you know, have the ability to get to communicate with them on that level. Anyway, I'm going to tell you two opposite examples. One is Michael Malone. I think he's really good at this, and you know, he doesn't come from their era at all. But He has bridged the gap of communication. He gets down and does all the stuff with the player. I just love how he has embraced who they are and not gotten so concerned about, oh, you have a cell phone on right now in the locker room, or all the little things that really got on Mal B, Brian Shaw's nerves. And when he was the head coach, and he and Brian Shaw could not stand it, couldn't stand cell phones, couldn't stand the fact that they were always on social media, really was, I thought, too dialed into that. Just doesn't matter. That's what they're into. You know, I mean, there's technology. We didn't have that when we were kids. If we did, we would have probably been doing the exact same thing. And so, you know, that your ability to be able to deal with it and still, still get through to these players, because at the end of the day, you're still coaching them. Basketball is a universal language. They all speak it. And so, just get to that part and then don't worry so much about the stuff that's on the fringes.
Plus, we know Michael Malone's kind of hip. I mean, we have a sponsor plug here. He mentioned Weldworks, right? Breweries, all that stuff. He doesn't get much younger than that. I mean, 21, of course, is the minimum there. But you can, you know where I'm going with that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The thing that's good about him, like, he wants to know. He wants to be in the mix. He wants to, he's got that. And then at the same time, he understands that he's not hanging out there. But he's going to absolutely know what that is.
Right.
And, hey, maybe, maybe he does go grab grab a drink or a meal at one of these new trendy places. Of course he's going to do that, because he is dialed in on it while still understanding, hey, listen, I'm an older guy. I have a family and a wife and kids, and that's what my main thing is. And so I think you can do both, and he is showing that you can do both. And for those coaches that are, especially the older coaches who are having to continually adapt to younger and younger players who are into different and more different and more different and more different things, those coaches are the ones that have the best longevity.
Well, speaking of kind of, following up with trends and everything, it does seem like the Nuggets are looking at the whole, the day off kind of thing for some of these guys. We know, and again, I know that we listed injuries, and Chris, you don't have to tell us everything, whatever you can tell us. But was it more of just a rest kind of day, or is the Joker really dealing with the toe injury?
Well, I think he was. And, the thing about Nikola Jokic is she's going to just play regardless. Literally have to tell him, you got to sit down today because we don't want you to play. And, so he is dealing with a little bit of a toe thing. Obviously, he can play right through it. I mean, he did the game before that in Minnesota, and he played really well. But I think if you're the Nuggets and you can get him a day off, you do it. They had already established that they had won four games on that road trip. Could they have put him out there, especially with the depleted Utah team? Could they have put him out there and just been like, we're going to get five right now. We're going to get game five of this six-game road trip because they are in no position to be able to handle our team with Nikola Jokic on the court. They could have done that. But at the same time, I think they just felt that they had enough players. They had enough good players on the court that can most certainly compete and maybe even beat the players that Utah was putting on the court. And, they just weren't able to quite get that done in that particular game. But when you win the first four games on a road trip of a six-game road trip, I think we all would have taken 4-2. And so I think that's just they were doing the math there, and they just said, okay, this is a good time to sit Nikola Jokic down, a good time to sit Aaron Gordon down, and let some of our young players play. And we're dealing with house money. Like, we win this game, we're five games out of six on the road trip, and if not, we will settle in at 4-2. Which is what everybody would have taken at the beginning of this trip.
Yeah, it's a huge road trip when you can get that. And again, we've talked about it all year, Chris. It's this team just trying to stay above water. And I kind of say above water is like that above 500 record mark. But even more so is, as you said, staying in that sixth spot, staying out of the play-in danger zone there. If they can maintain that sixth or fifth spot, and then you are to get a Jamal Murray back and Michael Porter Jr., who knows, then, man, you might be able to make... Who knows? You might be able to make a playoff run.
Yeah, you'd be a dangerous team. You just definitely would. And, I think you really do want to stay out of the seven, because the seven and eight, you're just going to get a date with either Golden State or Phoenix. Like, that would be your first round. And that's not a first round that really anybody wants, to be honest with you.
No.
So if you can stay in that sixth spot or that fifth spot, now you're talking about the Utah Jazz or the Memphis Grizzlies. And if you had a Jamal Murray back in your rotation at that time, You know, that's a series that you can rise up and maybe win that series, you know, depending on, you know, the effectiveness level of Jamal Murray at that time, which we know he wouldn't be, you know, bubble Jamal in any of those series, but he would be obviously a very integral, significant player to what they're trying to do in the playoffs. But outside of that, you know, it's I think for the Nuggets, it's you're right. I think they've done a really nice job of navigating the waters here, making sure that they're above 500. And you know, just until the last couple of games, I mean, they were starting to get well above 500. And just keep on this track. And you know, I think from here to the end of the season, they have majority home games. So can you get on get in a good rhythm at home and really start to separate that out? Make a real run, overtake, maybe a hold on to fifth with trying to make a run at fourth. And if you can do either one of those two things, wow, you know, what a season given the circumstances. And then the playoffs are the playoffs. Brady, I just think, you know, from this team as a title contender standpoint, I think we're still looking at next season for that. But if they can get into the playoffs and make it fun, win a round, that would be great. Really push in the second round as well. If you have Jamal Murray, you'll be able to do that. If you don't, then it'll be tough, but either way, I really do commend this team and that coaching staff for how they have prepared, how they have seen themselves through a ton of roster changes and in players and in and out of the lineup to put themselves in position for a good stretch run.
Well, and I'm excited to see more Bryn Forbes and Joker combo, because last night watching that game, I mean, he looked different last night, didn't he? Or the other night, excuse me, 2 nights ago. I'm getting all confused on my times. He looked different. He had that winning look where he's almost, I know he's coming off the bench, but it's like, hey, get on my shoulders. I can get us there. I really love to see that. If anything else, just to see, okay, there's another guy that might have this kind of bulldog mentality until Jamal and MPJ get back. They need a guy like that to pair with Joker. And I still would like to see those guys play, you know, some significant minutes together, or even early on in games.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, I think that sometimes when the main player is off the court, and obviously Nikola Jokic didn't play, then the players that might have just deferred to him all the time, they start. It's a game where they can puff their chest out and take all the shots they want. And they can feel comfortable about maybe getting some looks and taking some shots that maybe they wouldn't if the main player was on the court. And I think that was playing out with Bryn Forbes to an extent, where the Nuggets needed scoring from everywhere. Their main scoring guy wasn't playing that night. And so, you know, if you're a support player, now you're not a support player. And you can play a more aggressive role, really look for your shot. And then the offense is also tailored a little bit more to your specific skill set. And in the case of Bryn Forbes, that is pin down screens, that is screens off the top, and then catch and shoot. And they are not necessarily – this offense, of all the good things that it is, has not been built for a player like Bryn Forbes. It has not been built for a player to run off three or four screens and then catch and shoot like we see some other teams like a Golden State with Steph Curry or Klay Thompson. That's not how the Nuggets operate. But when Nikola Jokic is off the court, that's exactly how they can operate. And I thought I just saw some different kind of actions, some different kind of sets, a real intention to get him moving and then get him catch and shoot opportunities. And then once he made a couple, it was just all confidence all the time from Bryn Forbes. And I think that's going to be big for him as well. So, you know, the way I look at this, Brady, I think there might be a readjustment period now that Jokic is back on the court. And how do you get the same shots, play the same way, not feel that you have to pass it to Jokic all the time and stay in a confident and aggressive mind state? Can he stay there now that the main guys will be back? Or will he take a step back? It'll be interesting to see, but it certainly was fun to see the coaching staff actually have a chance to drop some different stuff and for Bryn to really make it count.
Yeah, I'm with you though. I'm curious, and I was watching them. I'm glad you brought that up with coming off those different screens, because I thought, man, this is a different feel than we're used to. But if you can, that'll be a challenge for Coach Malone and the coaching staff, is to see if they can get a good mix there on that side of it. So, okay, Bryn Forbes, we're all agreeing, has been a nice addition to this team. Trade deadline's not that far away. Do you see Denver being very active in this situation, or is it more or less, hey, we like this squad, we're going to stick it out, we're going to fight to stay above water, and we're just going to wait for backup to get in with Jamal and MPJ?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, usually at the trade deadline, you're talking about, okay, what's the final piece or two that when you're a team in the Nuggets position, you're usually thinking about what's the final piece or two that we might need to make a real run at the NBA Finals. I don't know that this is that type of season. And so would they be uber aggressive in the trade market? I'm going to guess that answer is no. Because you know, they've made a lot of these, you know, moves around the edges in terms of a Bryn Forbes, in terms of a DeMarcus Cousins. I think that they think that once they get their main guys back with some of these other guys, that's all that they have made the moves that they need. Now, look, could they make a couple of moves that would kind of alleviate the logjam? There's just like a ton of guards and who you're going to play it in the front court behind the starters, behind Aaron Gordon and Nikola Jokic at the forward spot, maybe Jeff Green at the forward spot as well. Like, where are you going there? Can you alleviate some of that by making a move? Maybe that would be the kind of thing that I might expect to see from the Nuggets this trade deadline, but nothing that screams, oh yeah, we're going for a title this year, because you need Jamal Murray and you need Michael Porter Jr. on the court to really make that run. We know that maybe one maximum might play, and maybe none of them will play, and so you wouldn't want to give away assets in a season like that for maybe a player that would be on an expiring contract or, you know, whatever else. So I think maybe a minor move to alleviate a logjam, or maybe nothing at all, because given what they've already done.
Yeah, well, that'll be certainly something for us to keep our eyes out for. Joker tonight, right, Chris? At least that's what we're being told, what we're thinking anyway.
Yeah. I think he'll be back. I think Aaron Gordon will be back. And, you know, the New Orleans Pelicans it's a pesky basketball team. So you want to have all your guys out there on the court, as many of them as possible, to get these next three games at home started off on a positive note.
Yeah, and it was a great road trip, as you said. I think couldn't have realistically hoped for much better than that. Chris, my friend, what time do you guys get rocking and rolling tonight?
So 6:30 will be the pregame show tonight on Altitude Sports, and then 7 o'clock for the game, and it should be a fun weekend with New Orleans and then the Brooklyn Nets coming in on Sunday afternoon, which is an interesting game, and then the New York Knicks after that. So two New York teams and a New Orleans team, and coverage gets going tonight at 6:30.
We'll be watching, my friend. Chris, appreciate you as always, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, man. We'll take care. We'll see you.
That's Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. He's given J-Dean a pretty good grade. He said he's doing an outstanding job. Look at that, man. You just said Chris, don't call me Christopher Dempsey. Say that you're doing a great job. That's a better compliment than most of us could receive in our lifetime. 12:51 the time. We'll take a short break. We're going to wrap up hour number one. Hour number two will be the David Roddy Show starting at 1:05. We've got a great segment coming up. We've got Getting to Know David as well. We'll get to that and so much more. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Well done. Well done.
March Madness can be heard right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Well done. The Hooligans are getting after it, man. I mean, those are good. We'll probably pause the 80s music so we can keep David Roddy for longer than this week. We'd like to finish the show. We'd like to finish the season with the David Roddy Show. So I'm sure he's not a big-time 80s rock fan. Maybe we'll put that in to Getting to Know David, presented by Ent Credit Union, brand new sponsor to the program. And we're going to talk about them a little bit, but a great, great supporter of David Roddy and the David Roddy Show. So the David Roddy Show is coming up. All things Colorado State, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. So we're looking forward to that. Don't go anywhere. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.